Moomin Mama and Moomin Papa already had the cheddar.
Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 278. Likewise is a social networking service for finding and saving content recommendations. It was founded by a team of ex-Microsoft employees with financial investment from Bill Gates. I'm bringing it up at the start of our show for two reasons. One, currently users can look for and make suggestions for movies, TV shows, books, and podcasts. So NGP is on the app and can be recommended to people that are looking for new gaming podcasts. I know I haven't told y'all about this, and you're going to be especially mad because number two, I haven't told either of you, but Likewise just launched social groups, and they reached out to me a couple weeks back, they reached out to me and my BookTube channel to see if I could be the official host of the science fiction books category. And so, I've been busy.
NGP Enterprises has been going off, and we're not in the loop.
That just recently launched, and I thought it was interesting for us to talk about.
Well, yeah, so one, massive for your channel, no?
Pretty cool. It could be, you know, it's not like direct connection, but kind of it helps.
Likewise, I think that's interesting to talk about.
No. Okay. So, but can you be like, hey, I also run like the most successful podcast on the internet if you want me to do that for
I'm giving podcast. Oh no, I told the Likewise people, but then also anytime people are looking for a podcast suggestion, they're like, I want something like the Joe Rogan podcast. I'm like, well, NGP. There's these three guys that talk about video games.
NGP is basically perfect for Joe Rogan fans.
I don't overdo that, but I am looking for people that are looking for video game podcasts.
Hey, that's kind of cool. Should I download the app?
It's free.
Is this an ad? Wait a minute.
Right, that's what
I'm saying. It's the first ad.
It's not an ad.
Sponsored or something?
It's kind of an ad.
We're not sponsored. There's no kickback or incentive, but I've just thought the app is pretty cool. It's been around for a little bit, but they've been kind of like during quarantine, they revitalized it. It's got over 1 million users now, so it's a pretty cool thing. And then every day, like, it asks you, like, based on your previous likes, have you seen this, and would you like to watch this or read this or check this out? And so it kind of continues to fine tune the stuff that you're interested in.
Interesting. And it's like algorithms of knowing the content you like are cross, like, platform, so it's going to look at things you like in one area and also convince me that I should read a book again?
Yeah, I think so. But also, like, if you're just not interested in books, it's not going to try to suggest you books. It's going to keep you in the movies or in the... And then, like I said, there's now groups, and so you can join particular groups based on the genres of shows or movies or podcasts that you enjoy. Why are you grinning over there, Noah?
I don't know.
He's looking for it.
I thought
is
I
why.
Heard you do something.
He's waiting.
I thought I heard you do something, but I'm not sure now.
No, I didn't intentionally do something.
Okay.
But I am about to intentionally do something. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So I know all of this has sounded like an ad, and we're not sponsored, but if any of this interests you, remember, it's a free app. You can download it. Join my sci-fi spot. I promise not to troll you.
All right.
Like in our retro... What?
You lingered a little too long on... Moo and movies, and that's what I thought you did.
That's
but you were just
better.
Saying it. Okay.
You can find your books, TVs, and movies.
That would have been good.
Like in our retro game of the week, Moomin's Tale.
Overview.
Moomin's Tale is developed and published by Sunsoft, Blaster Master Dustin. That's Batman Return of the Joker. Do you remember that?
Kenny.
No, we all like that one. That
Blaster
one was...
Master Dustin, Batman Kenny.
And Arrow the Acrobat.
Nolan.
Oh, yeah, they did do that.
they only published that one, but still shame on them.
But still, shame.
This is a 1999 Game Boy Color release. This game did not come out in the States. That's kind of rare for any game, as and for us on the podcast. Maybe there have been a couple on here, but it only came out in Europe and Japan.
Well, the ones that we have played on the podcast that weren't released here were typically ones that were only released in, like, Japan and never made it across. Very rarely, if ever, have we come across one that was EU and Japan, but never the States.
Right, because there's a lot of crossover between Europe and the States in terms of, like, interests and, like, pop culture.
Sure, and you don't have to do translation. Like, if you're releasing it in Europe, you might have to, like, take out some weird content-y stuff for old Nintendo games, like, because that was a thing.
Like a crumpet or two.
Yeah.
You have to take that out.
Exactly. You might have to, like, culturally adapt a little, but barely any relative to, like, a full translation.
So it probably didn't come out in the States because we had no idea who or what Tove Jansson's Moomins were. Which was smart, in my opinion. Saves a buck, because no one's going to buy it here.
My gosh.
But allow me to fill you in. Moomins is a cute children's book series and comic strip that came out in Finland first. The creator is a Swedish-speaking Finn. What's the word for a Finnish person?
I don't know.
A finisher.
Yes. So it came out in Finland a long time ago. Like, I want to say the 40s, I think.
40s, yeah.
And so over decades, it just, you know, was loved and grew and things came out. But in the 90s, it went through this, like, revival, and a lot of people discovered it. Because of this really successful Japanese anime that came out in the 90s.
I think it was its third anime.
Yes.
Like, so tons of content had already been created, and then the third anime caused it to have this revitalization of sorts.
It just hit, and people loved it, and they built a theme park. It was so successful. There's so many, like, it really blew up. Over there, we had no idea. We were looking at, like, who knows what at that
and
time.
And I know that y'all, if you're listening to this, you're probably not too familiar, but there was a Moomin boom in Japan and Finland during this time. Like, not... I cannot stress enough how much this boomed. There was a Moomin theme park that was developed.
Yeah. They've got they've got cafes that are Moomin themed.
Yeah, so much. And then, like, all of that enjoyment and excitement culminated in this Game Boy Color video game.
Exactly. It came down to this. And so in 1999, a Japan version and a separate PAL version came out, and there are differences. We'll talk about them. But they're both action platformers centered around the Moomins franchise. You collect question mark balls and try to solve puzzles if there are puzzles, or you try to beat bosses if there are bosses, to progress through six different stories, presumably based on the show or the books.
But from the research that I've done, no, not.
Oh, okay.
And I mean, like, it should be, but it's not much. And then these six stories, these six stages are completely disconnected from one another. It's like you're doing one. It's not even just chapters of a book, because those
are
typically
linked. It's like an
anthology. Yeah, it's exactly. Different stories and gameplay kind of on some of them altogether.
Yeah. Last fact about this game. Disney tried to, well, not the game per se.
Yeah,
Disney,
this is nuts.
Disney tried to buy the rights to Moomins, I think in the 90s, because they were like, holy. They were like, hey, we got a theme park, and holy we can make money off this big time. And guess what? Tove Jansson said, H-E double hell nah. And her granddaughter or niece or whatever still owns the rights, which is sick.
They wanted to keep it in the family instead of making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Although they may have made it off
of Moomin. Millions and millions and millions
of
dollars.
They were happy. I respect that. They would have made
more
money, sure.
But,
like, Moomin Mama and Moomin Papa already had the cheddar.
They wanted the Moomin cash.
Yeah.
Gameplay.
Moomin's Tale is six unconnected levels, each with their own stories. So the first one, you are trying to get Moomin Mama's missing handkerchief.
Yes.
Handkerchief.
Handkerchief.
In
the South. It's spelled that way, but we don't say handkerchief, Dustin. We don't.
You can, there's no silent D.
You can imply it a little bit if you want, but if you overly lean into the pronunciation, it's annoying. If you say February with an R, it's fine, but if you say February,
no, I get it.
You're a
or Wednesday.
But
do you say,
tell me other day, tell me.
You call it a hanky, not a hand key.
But you should, because D's do not, D's are not D's. Silent. D's. I'm not Ustin.
D's.
All right, so listen. The first stage, you're getting your mother's missing handkerchief. And then in the second stage, you are investigating a mysterious red light. On the third stage, you're getting... The community is wanting to do a hand organ concert, but the hand organ has gone missing. And so you've got to go and find the hand organ. So
stolen.
That's just a sampling of the setup for some of these levels.
Is a hand organ this or a ocarina?
Neither. It's a thing with like a... Doesn't it have a crank?
Also, I think it's pronounced han organ because the D is silent. And along the way, you're doing what Nolan had mentioned in the overview, that you are the main thing is you're grabbing these question mark orbs on each and every stage, if not just walking from the left side of the stage to the right side of the stage.
What are they? It's a mystery. They're questions.
They're mostly filled with fruit.
They're mostly filled with fruit.
It's fruit. You occasionally, though, will get like a key object. Yeah, or some other kind of objective, but it's mostly a fruit basket situation.
Because all you can do, since it's a Game Boy title, is D-pad yourself around, and then you can A, which is jump, or you can B, which is consume fruit. The fruits, if you've got any.
You can fruit, yeah.
That's all you can do.
Yes, very simple. I mean, you know, like you said, Game Boy Color, you had to stay simple. A lot of these games were. It's extremely basic platforming. Extremely basic. Kenny kept calling it a kid's game in his first play. So I'm just going to troll him and say that it's not a kid's game.
You're going to Moomin
episode.
Troll him?
I'm going to Moomin troll him. I mean, yeah, it's a kid's game.
Not trolling him. That's agreeing with him.
But a lot of adults played this game.
Trolls are agreeable in the universe we're living in.
Moomins are trolls.
And so...
Yeah.
Just to clarify for anyone that's not Moomin certified, Moomin is the general classification for this hippo-like, but standing on two feet, two legs.
Yeah, sort of creature. An anthropo-hippo
But they're trolls.
Creature.
They're trolls. Kind of, they're not hippopotami. They're trolls.
And they're not humans. Or
they're
moo
not
humans. Cows.
Yeah, Kenny thought they were cows. Kenny thought Moomin maybe meant a mix between a human and a cow.
That's a good guess. And he also spelled it that way on the first play.
And when you look at it, it could sort of be.
Yeah, but you were wrong, because they're trolls. And the name of the protagonist in the series and of this game is called Moomin Troll. Although I think in some releases it's just Moomin, but Moomin
they
Troll is Homeboy's name.
Yeah. Moomin's the nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've already said you've got Moomin Mama, Moomin Papa. You've got other characters from the anime and books and series.
Whose names
as well.
Are nonsensical after you leave the Moomin family.
Right. No, they're all nonsensical. Like in this game, you come across some that are new. Like I think Stinky, is that the guy's name?
Stinky, yeah. In the first world, you race him. I don't know if that's
new. You race
new.
Him up a tree. He's new. I don't think...
No, I think he is.
You think he is new?
No, I do think he's included in some of the Moomin stuff.
Right, you're
be.
Wrong. You're wrong.
I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah, Stinky? But he's not, which is interesting.
No,
Stinky
is
the worst.
He's not. There are some new-ish characters here, and he's looking it up. He wants to be right.
I'm
wrong.
Saying he is because I do my due diligence.
Nolan, he watched an episode.
I didn't watch an episode. I wanted to.
He watched a season. He watched a season.
I wanted to watch it too, but I'll get to that.
Yeah, I wanted to consume all of it. These characters, like, found a place in my heart. They're cute.
Not Stinky, because he's not in Stinky. The other media.
He is.
No, he might be. He might be. But yeah, you're doing the same thing on each and every stage. You're collecting those orbs. You're eating the fruit to regain health. You're and it's set up kind of like Mario, where it's 1-1, 1-2, 1-3. And then it's different than 1-60. Mario because it's 1-5, 1-8, 1-10, 1-11.
There were so many sub-levels in some of these levels. They were really leading into this, like, chapter book sort of setup, and I know you said it wasn't chapters because they're each a unique story, but it sort of feels literary that each of these sort of segments of the game is their own adventure. That's fine, and that's fine as a kid's game, and especially because they chose to let them play at least a little differently. You know, there's some universal things, but some of these levels really do feel and behave differently from each other, and so I don't know. I'll buy it.
Yes. And I am totally fine with the, like, anthology style because it follows a anime show, like, where each episode is something completely random. Like, Moomin trying to, I think in one of them, he, like, catches a dragon, and then the dragon has to, like, be let go, and it's all sad and stuff. So, like, stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's going to feel random. But like you're saying, Kenny, when they introduced that other axis in the second or third stage, I was actually like, wait, you can't do that on Game Boy Color. It was different than the left to right platforming that we had been doing. And then the ghost ship stage was actually really different. I mean, you're still collecting and you're still, like, jumping on things, but they introduced this, like, top down, like, horror style camera angle
puzzle
on the Game Boy Color.
And then you're solving a puzzle instead of kind of just platforming.
There. Yes, like, you're transforming into, like, a tiny Moomin in order to get, like, the tiny question marks. They at least try to break up the left to right jump on things. When I first watched Kenny's first play and I saw what it was, I was like, no, this game's going to be like...
If it was 66 levels, sub-levels of that, you know, levels with 11 sub-levels each of exactly just that, it would have been the worst game we've ever played.
Yes.
But they thankfully, you know, mixed it up quite a bit.
Near the end of each world, it's never the last stage. It's rarely the last. It's never the last stage, which doesn't make any sense to me. So, like, if there's 1-11 stages in the first world, 1-10 is the boss level. And why it wouldn't be 1-11, who knows? But 1-10 is a boss fight. And so there's a few different bosses. There's the grasshopper in the first world. I think you fight him again later. There's the ghost captain on the pirate ship. Is it a pirate ship? On the haunted ship. There's the eagle, which the dreaded eagle. And then there's the dragon, which is your kind of final boss.
Yes. And they're easy.
You jump on them?
Jump on them. Like, the first boss, and you'll see Kenny do it, you'll figure it out as soon as you play the game, you trampoline on it.
And the first boss is a complete joke.
It's a joke.
You literally just jump and stay on top of him and don't fall off and you win.
And maybe they knew that because they brought him back with the vengeance and he's a lot harder the second time.
Yes,
he learned.
He is.
The difficulty ramp, if you even want to call it that, it's more of a spike, is real in this game. Like,
difficulty cliff?
Let's just talk about it because I know Dustin wants to talk about it and I witnessed his pain. The final boss, the dragon, is literally coded just poorly and unfair and impossible. It's so bad.
And that's if you can get to him, because the eagle is programmed fairly bad and the hitboxes are rough and the dragon is just like, because he stays in one place. He doesn't fly around. He spits fireballs at various levels, and so you have and you can't duck. So you either have to drop down to a lower platform or
it's
jump.
It's a real
over
Bowser situation. You're dodging fireballs, and you got to fall into something or jump over them. Depending.
But there's no like visible rhythm to it, or you can't learn.
It's hard to know before you see it which one it's going to be, and so you have to react.
Just kind of have to
very
risk it.
Quickly
risk
to
it for
each
the
one.
Biscuit, because he can do one at a time, or he can do one after another. And if he does one after another with no indication, no visible indication, then you die. That is the last boss, though, but. And so it is frustrating. It does set you back earlier in the stage, so you have to if you die, so you have to get back to the guy. I played safe with save states, so I'm not doing
that.
Yeah,
you did.
even if you didn't play with save states, though, this is a eternal set of continues type of game.
Okay.
There's a password system,
and
too.
There's a password system. Yeah, so you can make progress and then jump back to your previous progress.
I beat it without save states, and I spent.
Why?
A long time on the dragon. Because I don't use save states, brother.
If it didn't have eternal continues, he wouldn't have
it's
done
not,
that.
It's a fairly short game, but for the Game Boy Color, I think it's maybe not so short.
I mean, what?
Like there's plenty of content.
An inexperienced player can beat it in what, 2 hours, 2.5 hours?
3.
Okay.
Maybe two. Not two. Two no, if you're just you're sitting
gonna,
there doing it.
You're going to fail a little bit. Like, it's not like you're going to get it all exactly on the first playthrough. There's some other interesting mechanics in this game, too, because we talked about platforming and jumping and grabbing these orbs. But you've got this big character who you can make face you, like face the camera or face away, which feels pointless early on. But then later, once you realize that you can... Actually, where you have these levels where you are walking up mountains or walking around in halls, it kind of makes sense to just build the character where he can, you know, turn mm-hmm. all of the sure. axes. But mm-hmm. even more than that, it's just kind of weird mechanically because, yeah, you've got these fruits to eat, and finding some fruits are going to, like, increase your life over time. And so finding some fruits are even going to give you some bonuses, like quicker speed movement, which is kind of cool. But then you have some things that are just very strange. Like, you take damage, and movement sort of gets frustrated with you, looks at you a little bit judgy, like, I can't believe you let that happen to me, even though it was probably unavoidable because, let's be real, some of the stuff they throw at you is nonsense. And then he sits there and looks at you and waits.
Kenny.
And, like, he does nothing and is immune to damage and just waits for you to hit a button to say, like, okay, let's keep playing this game. Which is weird.
It's hilarious. It's the best thing ever. I made an emoji in Discord if you want to see it. Kenny, he looked at you half the first play. You got hit so many times.
He was disappointed in me. Yeah, that's not news.
And that's the funniest face. Like, that's the only game I can think of. Maybe there's others that kind of break the fourth wall, and they're like, you idiot, what are you doing?
No, I like when they do. The frustrating part of that, though, at least for me, is not realizing at first that you had that control, and so, like, thinking you're just going to keep playing, and then activating your character back into action when he's taking in a place where he's going to get hit. Like, the first time you get those balls rolling to the side and one hits you and you sit, and then you try and go again, but the ball is still right there, you're just like, you're dead, and it's nonsense. It takes a little getting used to because it's not like any other game I've ever played.
Yeah, but then when you get used to it, you have infinity... invincibility frames where you can just sit there until things are calm or until all the enemies are off the screen, and then you can move again. It ends up being really nice. You're talking about some of the unique mechanics. I think some of the unique gameplay sections also brought a little bit of creativity to this. We've mentioned that each chapter is each chapter is slightly different, but even within those chapters, a few of them have some unique gameplay sections. So in the first world, you get to this place where you are racing Stinky, who's not in any of the other Moomin material. And so
what if he is, though?
All you have to do is mash A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B to try to climb the tree faster than Stinky, which is different than what you've been doing the rest of that world.
Yeah.
And then even in the next one...
I like those little I like
you have to
challenges.
Indiana Jones. You have to Indiana Jones run from the boulder that's following you and the different levels. It's very tough, but a few different gameplay sections.
You ask why they don't put the boss at the end of every level. It's so that they can do that. It's so they can give you a little challenge, a little something extra, a little landing of the story. You know, it's real literary kind of inspired game. It's a denouement, if you
it's
will.
It's an epilogue.
You know. It's coming down and explaining things.
And to your point, Dustin, at times this game felt like an anthology game, like WarioWare. I'm a very big fan of WarioWare because I don't know if y'all are familiar, but it's a collection of different like silly mini games, and that's the game you just play. I think the Bart Simpson game was like that we played on the podcast where you're like. At the Olympics or something, it's a bunch of minigames. I don't know.
That's been a long time ago.
That's been ages.
At times, this version of the game felt like that. Now, the Japanese one, I was like, it's probably the same. Dudes, it's like fully, you can fully explore like their world in this game.
Hub and world,
like,
yeah.
It has a hub world on a Game Boy
totally
Color.
Different.
And you can talk, there's so much dialogue. Like, I'm sure fans... would like that that really won a Moomin game would so much prefer that if they could read Japanese because it just looked more magical and fun. I mean, some of the same stages, you're still platforming, but there was a hub freaking world in the Japanese one.
And not only that, I know that in the Japanese game, it's a lot more closely connected to and tied to the source material. And so I've joked a little bit. That's I'm cool. not entirely sure if Stinky is or is not in there. I'll admit that. But I do know that a lot of the thing that there's Mama doesn't have a handkerchief in the series. There's nothing about that. But and that's just one example. There are so many different things in this EU version that are different. It's kind of like people created it not knowing fully the Moomin verse. But the Japanese world has characters, themes, story, concepts that are all directly linked to the source material.
Aged.
Which is perhaps a good segue into this point that one major, very important aspect with established franchise games that we've played on this podcast, or just in general, it really helps to like the source material or be familiar with it. And that's going to affect how it's viewed and how it's aged. That said, I started to get super interested in Moomin and what it was because of the game.
It's interesting also, and unique. I'm with you. I was like, I would watch a Saturday morning cartoon that was about these characters.
Sure.
For sure.
And then people in Discord, like Antonin, who grew up with Moomin and are familiar with it, just being absolutely in love with this character, I was like, okay, what is this? Like, what's going on? So I did my research like I normally would have for the podcast, but more so just for myself. And this for sure would have been my jam. Like, especially if you grew up with this character. It reminded me of, like, Little Bear, kind of. Like, it's a much more unique character and world than Little Bear. But that's, like, that, like, really detailed, beautiful color palette kind of show that's just so warming. Yeah. Like, so I've got to take that into consideration when I look back at this game. Even though the game itself has mechanical problems.
And that's what they tried to do with this Game Boy Color title. Because you look
Dustin
at the world.
Is making me mad.
I know.
He
makes
so
many faces. But you look at the world that they made. And this looks like an illustrated type of game. They didn't just like throw, you know, a sprite in there and then do like generic backgrounds. This game is pretty. It looks really nice. And it has a almost hand-drawn kind of vibe to it that feels like, I think, as close as you could get, at least on the Game Boy Color, what the vibe of this world is supposed to be. I thought it looked really nice.
The sprite work is actually
sick. Stop.
No, you need to stop. Why is this? Dispute the sprite work.
Yeah. tell me, Moomin Troll isn't cute.
It's slightly larger character, like models. You know,
yeah,
like
chunky.
Chunky. It's not like Batman was real tiny, but like the bigger sprites work for me, and they're actually detailed, and the backdrops, I agree with Kenny, look like a storybook. So, what do you have to say?
The graphics are fine. Yeah, the sprite work is okay. It's nothing remarkable. When you're on handheld, I think that already limits some of what you're able to do. Game Boy Color is still relatively early. 1999 is still relatively early. But I did appreciate some of the moving backgrounds, especially like on some of the waterfall levels or stuff.
Yeah, and then you have the clouds moving on that sky and wind.
And they give you a few stages where they don't put enemies and they don't even put collectibles. You kind of just walk across, which is somewhat pointless, but they give you some pretty scenes to
yeah,
witness.
I liked it. It sort of immersed you. You had to climb those trees and had the really cute animation there.
But I thought other than some of those key things, a lot of it's just boring reused assets. The second world with the, like, that's on the cliffs and then in the caves, it's just the same thing over and over again.
That stage,
the mountains are a little boring. Yeah.
But even the whole first world is just, it's replacing platforms and replacing trees on different, it's a lot of the same. And so, I mean, I think what they did was okay, but not anything to write home to Moomin Troll.
Moomin Troll? Your opinion might be a little swayed if you had it in your hand. You were a Game Boy guy, or you were?
I was a Game Boy guy. I never had anything past that, though.
Okay. Well, this is still Game Boy, just had color. Like, you could play...
That's a big difference, though.
I mean,
Game Boy, I couldn't even play at night.
Yes. Wait, what?
It was too dark.
Have your accessories.
I mean, Game Boy Color didn't have a backlight. You still
it didn't
had
have a backlight either?
No, the Game Boy Advance SP was the first one to have a backlight. The Game Boy Advance original didn't even have a backlight.
How do you even do color without a backlight?
Wait, I don't think. I might
I don't
be tripping.
Know anything.
Anyways, I like condensed screen size.
Yeah.
Just makes it look better. And so I feel like maybe if we had it in our hands, we'd be like, all right, this is pretty good. But I can tell because I was a Game Boy Color boy.
I'm going to just say he's objectively wrong, and most of it looks really good. Where I tripped a little bit was that as nice as the visuals were, and I do think they delivered, the music didn't always do it for me. There were a couple of kind of pleasant tracks that sort of went and were fine, and you're like, okay, this feels cartoony and atmospheric and like, okay. And then there were a couple of tracks that popped in there, and I was like, please just make it stop. Like, who chose this and why? And did they have ear holes?
Okay, I have some context on that. And apparently none of the tracks that's what my dog sounds like, by the way. That's also anyways. The tracks in this game are not from Moomin, the anime, at all. Which
I think had like its own music. They like cut some albums or something based on this sort of world. That's crazy.
York recorded a song for one of the movies. Like, it has good music. And it's a shame that they didn't translate it here. Like you said earlier, Dustin, it feels like maybe some of these developers were blindly trying to make a already established franchise game. So I agree. The music was fine. It was so cookie cutter Game Boy music. That's what it is. I don't know if it fits, again, because I've never seen the show, but the Japanese version apparently does have the music from the anime, which I think is a smart move. So,
but that ain't the version we played.
It's not the version we played. It's very cookie cutter on this version.
And some of the tracks are that Game Boy piercing, your ears might bleed, so you need to be careful.
Some real annoying ones.
It wasn't Kid Icarus bad, but...
There are other Moomin games. I don't know if y'all looked into them or played any this week, but there's like Moomin's and the Great Autumn Festival and Moomin's and the Invisible Child.
Are those on the DS?
Maybe.
I thought this was the only Moomin game when I was doing my research, but then I saw like a DS cover and I was like, what?
Well, here's the thing. Usually when we find a game, it's really easy to find information about other games, everything else, especially on a really well-loved franchise. But for some reason, this game is kind of slept on. I mean, you can obviously find information about it, but
not on Wikipedia. It doesn't have its own Wikipedia page.
It doesn't
page.
Have it its sure own doesn't. Wikipedia page at all. Like the entire Moomin world references TV shows, movies, music, all the stuff, theme parks, cafes, doesn't talk about the fact that there were multiple video games made about this. Like they just, no one has cared for some reason. You go on YouTube and look up Moomin stuff, and our first play made in 2021 might be one of right? your first page results.
Yeah.
Because nobody's played it or cared about it. It just, like, it feels like it was just slept on, which is weird for a giant franchise.
Nobody's played or cared about it except one guy from Finland. There's one guy that is a streamer, a content creator, and he loves the Moomin verse in a massive way. And I came across his video of Moomin's Tale this week. He was playing it, reviewing it.
I saw this guy.
And he was streaming on Twitch at the time. So I hopped into his channel. I was like, hey, we're playing your game, Moomin's Tale, this week.
I've got to shout him out. And Bonefoot.
Bonefoot is his name?
Oh, maybe not.
I mean,
that's who I saw.
I hope Nolan just made that up.
I'll tell you who I saw, but it's Bonefoot. Bonefoot is who. I didn't know that was the guy's name. And, I mean, all you have to type in is Moomin's Tale because it's going to be the only thing that pops, that populates.
But it didn't have a ton of views, to Kenny's point. It is weird. This is a huge deal. I mean, maybe it just doesn't have that America power behind it because people get way too hype about stuff over here. But
we don't need to change this. I'm not saying that this is wrong, but
no, it's just surprising for how popular it is that the games about it aren't part of that popularity. And I think that's worth pointing out when we talk about how this has aged, because yes, the whole like franchise and IP might be like wildly crazy, but it doesn't seem like some of that same fanaticism translated to the games that were made for the title. And there may be a reason for that.
How much is a copy going to set me back, Dustin?
$57 used.
That's high.
$450 new.
Wow.
Is a cartridge this small worth $450?
To a Moomin boy or girl, yeah.
It's all the shipping costs. You're having to get it from Europe sent over.
The ghost ship.
You have to get it from the finishers.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or a thumbs down. The vote does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. I'll begin. We played a similar game to this one with chonky sprite work. I believe it was Marvel. Also handheld. Y'all will have to correct me. But I just simply don't think this game did it as well. I don't think Moomin's Tale did it as well as that game, Hamtaro.
Oh yeah.
Oh, fair to.
Do you
make
see some of
comparisons?
The similarities?
Yes.
Like
yes.
Yeah.
A bigger than normal sprite. What was that handheld as well? Was that Game Boy Color?
Yes.
Oh wow. So there's still, a lot of.
Yeah, still cute, kind of animal. Main
it's kind of
character.
A lot of similarities. Maybe that's why
anime background. Yeah,
maybe that's why Moomin's Tale didn't make it over here, because there was only room for one, and Hamtaro took it.
Ham's Tale.
Maybe.
Ham's Tale, and so. I thought this game was, it is okay, but it doesn't know what it's trying to be. It presents itself as a kid's game, but then especially on the first world, but then after that, any kid would not be able to complete some of these stages or defeat some of these bosses. The coding is done relatively poorly. There's a lot of reused assets. The music was unique and varied. There's a lot of different tracks, but it wasn't anything to write home about. I will say Moomin Troll is a cute little guy, but if there was maybe a little bit more connectedness to the stories that you were playing, and if there was a little bit more, I don't know, design intention and purpose behind the levels that you were playing, I think that I would give it a pass. But because it wasn't those things, I didn't have fun this week. I did beat the game this week. I did beat the game with save states. But most of the experience wasn't enjoyable because from the very beginning to the very end, I was mostly doing the same thing, which was just getting these question mark balls. Now, you do it in a few different ways on a few different stages, which was nice, but it's the same. You're just getting these question mark balls, and it kind of felt pointless to me. I mean, I got Mama's handkerchief, but that, you know, who cares? So, no New Game Plus for me.
Moom and Mama cares.
Yeah. I love the character. I mean, he's cute as can be. And like I said, I'd probably be into this. I've always said when games have poor handling, I can't give it that pass. And so this is not one of them because the handling was fine. Look, there's no way I'm trashing this cute little guy and all his friends and this series that has just roots and will crush anyone that says anything else. The game's aged. Like many other Game Boy Color games, I feel like it's the console's problem. The console was doing its best and doing an excellent job of making on-the-go games at the time a reality. And I was in that space. I was playing those games, and they've aged, all of them. But this game still has plenty of merit and things that I can enjoy. If you like Moomins, you'll like the game. If you don't know about Moomins, you'll want to after playing the game. Between the actually impressive sprite work and, for the most part, fluid controls, I gotta hand it to the developers for not completely phoning this in. It gripped me for some reason, and
not twice. Then it would have to go to PG-13.
Hockey sticks.
Okay.
Yes, this is New Game Plus certified. Are you kidding?
Of course not. And then the power is in Kenny's hands. Of course.
I love having
because
power.
I know that Kenny is a Moomin man.
Moomin.
I did fall in love with Moomin, and even if it is designed as a kid's game, or supposed to be, which I will say, my feeling changed throughout the game on that decision. I agree with you, Dustin. It felt like, hey, this is supposed to be a kid's game. Later, I was like, no, there's no way they actually meant this to be a kid's game, because too hard, kind of weird, punishing at times. And I think maybe they just were going for difficulty ramp, and that's what I saw. Anyhow, this game has some really novel concepts, some really nice variety where it's not sort of the same thing over and over. Definitely has kind of a literary feel to it, which is nice since that's what the stuff is based on. So I don't know. It definitely brought some things to the table. If the Moomin aesthetic or vibe is interesting, like, for sure, no matter what, go out and at least expose yourself to this world, because there's a reason this thing is so popular. Ultimately, though, it's a no from me.
Thank God!
No!
I thought you
were going to make history, but like so many others in the past, you're a fool, and you're on the wrong side of history.
No.
Y'all are stupid.
I'm on the right side of history here. They tried to get the Moomin magic, and they gave enough of it that, Nolan, that we both realized that there's something to this world.
You're not in the club, no.
But there were enough negatives to outweigh many, many, many of the positives. Some of the gameplay design stuff was weirdly punishing. The difficulty ramp was there. If the gameplay portions of this game, bosses and interactions and hitboxes and jumping around and things not being too just sort of non-cohesive were there, it would have been an amazing game. But it wasn't.
You're such a gameplay croak.
Gameplay didn't match with the world that it was set in. So, negative.
Thankfully, this game, like Hams Unite, is not New Game Plus certified. In fact, we think it's stinky.
Not me.
But what did you think? On YouTube, we had 523 votes this time. Only 12% said yes, it's worth playing today. 9% said no, go play something else. And unsurprisingly, 80% said, what is this?
Stupid Americans.
They did not know what this game was.
I answered that too.
But a lot of our community played it along with us this week. I will include a few of their thoughts here. Can't possibly do all of them. But Joey,
I will be banning people, by the way, based on what they say. So, continue.
You'll have to tell us if they get the ban hammer after each commentary. Joey said, my playthrough was not horrible, but definitely not great. I could see myself playing this if I was a kid again on a road trip trying to pass the time. However, after 2 hours of consistent gameplay, I found that I needed to convince myself to keep going. There just wasn't enough variety in this game, and the enemies were weak from what I was expecting. Bees, boulders, and whatever else this game throws at you gets old real quick. The only positive I have for this game is that the music varied stage to stage and gave you something fresh to listen to as you pushed through.
Banned.
Bye, Joey. Thanks for your support. Alex said, the characters are wholesome and endearing, and the animations are great. Yep. Unfortunately, the gameplay is bland and repetitive. Band. The fruit mechanic is novel, although not very well explained. Some of the bosses are challenging, but only because they are damage sponges. I would only recommend this game to huge fans of the Moomin franchise.
What do you mean? It's simple. You hit B, eat fruit, and get health, or you save them and their extra lives. Pretty Kenny, easy to me.
Kenny, that's what you said, right? If you're a Moomin stan, maybe play it, but...
No, I'm saying if you're introduced to the Moomin universe from this game, like, go hang out in that universe.
Gotcha.
I don't think the game is worth...
I'm going to watch the anime,
the gameplay. No, I'll watch it with you.
No, and then
no,
you're not invited. Nolan's going to start a solo spinoff podcast where he reviews the seasons of the Moominverse. All right. Antonin, by the way, the one who either grew up or, you know, is familiar with this,
yes,
said, while Moomins may be one of the best franchises on this planet, this game is definitely not representative of the warmth and coziness that the stories of Moomin Troll usually have.
Band.
It was nice to see all the wonderful characters come to life, and I appreciate the mostly non-violent gameplay. Even jumping on animals typically resulted in Moomin jumping higher rather than knocking the enemy out. Other than that, I enjoyed Moomin's animation. The look of utter disappointment and exasperation Moomin gives you when he's hurt is adorable. But beyond that, this game couldn't hold my interest. I hope everyone checks out the 90s Moomin TV shows instead of playing this game and learn all about Little Mai, Snufkin, and the whole wonderful cast of characters.
I am. It's literally, I'm not joking, I'm new to this series, and like I'm going to watch it and actually get into it. I love animated shows like that. So I will. And just another reminder that animation is in emoji form in our Discord, so it's gonna be forever a meme, and we'll be able to remember this game, this amazing game.
I almost forgot. I'm glad that I remembered, but I did find the Moomin website this week, and there is a quiz there to find out which Moomin character you are. I sent you guys the link. Did y'all take the quiz?
Yeah,
I did.
Okay, but, wonderful.
Okay.
Oh, no, it's a accurate. Poorly done quiz, no, for sure.
It's wrong.
No, it's a fine quiz. It's just I don't know any of these people.
It's got like four questions, and then it tells you what Moomin character you are. I got Moomin Papa, and it said, because you possess an adventurous spirit and you enjoy looking back on your life and sharing your wild memories and experiences with others. You believe that things were better in the past, and your restlessness always pushes you towards new adventures. Inspired by your own youth, you are an irreplaceable party person.
I think Kenny had the same one.
That sounds super accurate to you.
It does.
And I feel like it nailed you, and Moomin Papa's a great character. I am not so happy with my results, because I wanted to be a troll, and I am not, apparently.
Stinky?
No, I'm Little Mai, which...
Who's that?
What is that name in the first place? And who wants to be in this world and be a sort of human instead of a troll? Like... So,
Read the thing.
Oh, okay. It says, your curiosity together with your fearless and cheeky attitude makes you an interesting person in the eyes of others.
Okay.
You cheerfully state all the unpleasant truths that others don't want to say out loud or hear. You never suffer from a guilty conscience, and small practical jokes greatly excite you.
That's pretty accurate, Kenny.
Why are these both... Okay... This is fairly accurate
on the descriptive, but not on the... I don't know enough about who Little Mai is.
You're Little Mai.
I don't want to be
I'm,
all right, Nolan.
I'm Groke. I think Groke's
already feels accurate.
You are overshadowed by your loneliness and darkness, People fear you and tend to avoid you, but it's just because they don't understand you. You are not dangerous, and you have never harmed anyone. Your gloomy thoughts follow you, but you are still used to getting what you like.
Have you ever stolen a hand organ?
Yeah, so yes. So it's no longer which Hogwarts house are you or no. What is your sign. It is which Moomin character.
Which Moomin you be. I'm not a Moomin either. I think I'm a villain. I'm actually a boss in this game.
Everybody that hears this episode needs to right now go to the Moomin website, which is very easy to find. You just go to Moomin.com. They were able to get it. Moomin.com. And take
Disney
your quiz.
Didn't snatch it.
Take your quiz and report your findings in our Discord channel. Finally, one more commentary. Saint Minister said, with the increasing international expansion of IKEA in the 1990s, the Swedish nation was primed for global domination. Yeah. Which is a great way to start
meatballs.
Yes.
With the home of Earth's inhabitants steadily under its control, all that remained were their hearts. Enter Project Moomin's Tale, a secret government initiative that, drawing on the same Scandinavian right. genius for simplistic design, would infiltrate the emotional core of citizens worldwide via the country's newly beloved cartoon hippopotamuses. Is it not hippopotamus? They're not hippopotami. The result remains one of the greatest blunders of turn-of-the-century propaganda. As word spread of the game's crappiness via slow modem internet, it was killed off by the Swedes before reaching North American shores. To this day, in Stockholm and its surrounding areas, a Moomin's Tale refers to the inflated speech of an overconfident fool.
You're perma-banned.
I like it. No, I like no. it, Saint Minister. It's creative. Thank you. So much negativity. Bad. Thank you for sending in your thoughts on the Retro Game of the Week. You can do that each and every week by submitting your commentary to ngppodcast@gmail.com or hop into our Discord channel. There's a commentary section there. We'd love to read your thoughts next week as we play a new game that we're about to randomly select from our Retro Master list. Buckle your butts. Randomizing now. We're going to be playing a PC title that first began in 1995, but I think this version was ready in 1997, and it's been updated time after time, year after year. It is influenced heavily by a game that we previously played called NetHack. This is one of those rogue-like dungeon crawl games. It's called by a few different names, but we are going to be playing this week Lindley's Dungeon Crawl.
So that's my cousin.
The develop this game.
No, Lindley. I'm not playing this. Y'all can.
Well, you got to. Yeah, actually, you got to. No,
you don't. Yes.
Nolan's either. Too good for dungeon crawlers.
Well,
the game length is 4 to 12 hours. Just fairly, like, I feel like a large gap of time.
Yeah.
Now, we played NetHack early on when we were retro gaming noobs, when we barely knew what we were talking about. Now that we're complete professionals.
Experts
in the pros. Field, some might say. Pros.
I got my doctorate.
Yes. Yes. Maybe we'll have a more refined taste. It was created in C++, which you two probably know about. It was last updated in 2005. And so everybody find a copy of Lindley's Dungeon Crawl and somehow try to play it along with us this week.
Talk about it in Discord. We've mentioned it so many times in this episode. And we want you to join it because it's free for you. And it helps us connect with you and also get partner with Discord, which will give us something, TBD. But you can do that by going to ngppodcast.com and clicking Join Us in Discord.
We want to say a big thank you to Marlian, Austin, Ben, Bethany Fox, Bro Jim, Carrie, Dan the Man, Francesca, Corey, Maximo, Secret Duck of Evermore, Shauna, Unbedavable William, and Zion for being our amazing producer-level supporters. We want to give a double big shout out to Anton Garlisle and Wardonis for being our wonderful, wonderful directors. And we want to say howdy to Thomas, who sent us a very nice encouraging message this week and joined the producer bandwagon as well. Thanks for listening to the show. Hope you can tear through the rest of that backlog and appreciate your support.
Thank you. Sorry about the Moomin verdict.
Yeah, hey, thank you. No, we appreciate everything about nothing. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. In fact, we're doing a live stream this week. We're bringing back something from yesteryear. So stay tuned.
It's a surprise.
All of those links are in our show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good, kind, dear friend, Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Linley's Dungeon Crawl. Until then, I'm still Moomin Papa.
No, you're Ustin.
I'm Groke.
Gross. And this has been Moomin Game Plus.